Today we begin a new sermon series which will take us through the beginning of August. The series is called Grateful, From Attitude to Action. And the inspiration for this sermon series comes from a book by that same name, Grateful. And in it, there is this radical idea that gratitude is something that might not just change us as individuals, but it might be a practice that can change the world. So we're going to explore that together over the next 8 weeks and see what we can learn about what it means to be grateful people. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And this is likely a text that you are very familiar with, but you are used to hearing it when it is much colder out. This is the story of the wise men and their visit to Jesus. We are used to hearing this story around Christmas time. We often hear it as part of either Christmas Eve services, we hear it on Star Sunday when we celebrate Epiphany. We're using this today as a stepping off point for our sermon series because of the way in which gifts are given in this story. So often we think about the gifts that Jesus gives to others throughout his life and ministry. We think of his ministry as a gift, his teachings as gifts. We think of the ways in which he healed people as incredible gifts. And of course, the greatest gift of all that he was willing to give, the gift of his very own life for the sake of the world. But before he did any of that, when he was just a baby, these wise men from the east came and brought him gifts, not because of anything that he had done yet, but because of who they believed him to be. The wise men weren't giving these gifts because they thought that would obligate Jesus to write them thank you notes or to do them favors. They were offering these gifts out of a sense of wonder and awe. They gave them with joy and praise and thanksgiving because of who they believed Jesus to be. They are an inspiration for us in the way that we give gifts freely, joyfully to others. So listen now for the word of God from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, They left for their own country by another road. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The gifts those wise men brought to Jesus weren't particularly practical. Now, I doubt that Mary had the opportunity to put together a baby registry. I don't think they existed back in biblical times. But if she had, I also doubt that gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have made it onto the list, right? Although, maybe gold, especially if she and Joseph wanted to start a college fund for Jesus right away from the very beginning. But those gifts weren't particularly practical, but they were meaningful. Now, Cass Community United Methodist Church learned something about impractical gifts one Christmas Eve. Now, you should know that Cass Community Church has a long history of ministry to and with the homeless community. They're located in Detroit, Michigan, and the church started a homeless drop-in center back in 1988. And at the same time, they worked with other local faith communities to begin a rotating homeless shelter that is still going strong today. The shelter moves from church to church on a weekly basis to provide overnight housing for up to 80 people every night. They also now run 5 apartment buildings for people who are transitioning from homelessness to permanent housing. So no one questions Cass Community Church's support for the homeless community, and yet they still had something to learn about gifts and gratitude. So back to that Christmas Eve. As part of their ministry to the homeless community, volunteers were serving a hot meal prior to the church's candlelight Christmas Eve service. As each guest finished eating, a volunteer would give the person a nicely wrapped present. The items were simple things that had been donated by members of the church: a fancy bottle of lotion, maybe a knit scarf, a pair of warm gloves. People generally seemed grateful for the gifts, but then from the far end of Fellowship Hall, it became clear that one woman was less than pleased with her present. She yelled, "Wind chimes? Wind chimes? What the bleep do I need wind chimes for? I'm homeless." Now, the church's pastor quickly rushed over to resolve the issue, thinking that while the woman might have chosen different language to express her displeasure, she did have a good point. The members of the church had gathered gifts that they felt good about giving, but they hadn't actually asked the guests of the drop-in center or the homeless shelter what they might actually want or need. So the church decided to try something new. They shifted gears. Individuals and parents who were part of their homeless ministries compiled lists of what they wanted for Christmas, and then members of the church would take the list to area stores and buy the items that had been requested. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like how our Christmas gifts collection works, although we work in partnership with the Department of Youth and Family Services instead of developing the lists ourselves. But at Cass Community Church, they worked directly with the people who were part of their homeless ministry programs, and this new system, it seemed like a step in the right direction. The church was providing gifts that people actually wanted or needed, but it still created this dynamic where the people giving the gifts got to feel really good about themselves, and the people receiving the gifts were expected to be grateful to their generous benefactors, and parents in particular were still left with a sense of shame that they weren't able to provide their own gifts for their own children. So the church's pastor decided they should try one more thing. She shared this idea for a Christmas store, and the church decided to try it. The church gave out lists of suggested presents for a variety of ages, both genders, and then they arranged the gifts in their fellowship hall as if it was a department store. There was a section for clothing, a section for toys, a section for books. Parents who were in need were invited to come, and they got to choose the gifts that they wanted for their children. They paid $1 per child, so that they had the dignity of purchasing the gifts. And then they walked through the store, picking out several items for each of their children, and in the end, there were volunteers who either helped them wrap those gifts or gave them the wrapping supplies that they would need to do that on their own. And with this new system, church members got to give a different kind of gift. They gifted parents with the joy that comes from selecting and giving presents to their own children. They gifted parents with a sense of pride. Now every Christmas Eve after worship, Cass Community Church's pastor, Reverend Faith Fowler, she delivers a Christmas stocking to each resident in all of their housing programs. And as she made the rounds on a recent Christmas Eve, her last stop brought her to the church's facility for homeless women and children with AIDS. There, as she went door to door dropping off the stockings, at least four mothers invited her to come into their apartments, and they didn't want her just to see their Christmas trees. They told her about the gifts that they had chosen for their children that were wrapped up underneath their trees. Reverend Faith got to see how proud they were. Now, the Christmas store has dramatically shifted the mood of gift giving at Cass Community Church, and it has dramatically shifted the church's vision of gratitude. At first, the members of the church, they wanted to be the ones who got the credit for the gifts they gave. It made them feel good to be generous. It made them feel good when people expressed their gratitude to them. But then everything shifted, and they discovered that gratitude doesn't have to be bound up in this system that creates a benefactor who should be thanked and a beneficiary who is obligated to feel grateful. The members of CAST discovered what could happen if gratitude shifted from a personal feeling to a communal practice. They discovered what could happen if gratitude became more than just an attitude, but also an action. They discovered that this fuller vision of gratitude could change them. And maybe it could transform the world. Now we are embarking on a summer worship series focused on gratitude, hoping that maybe our vision of gratitude will shift too. We're hoping that maybe we can see a shift from a personal feeling around gratitude to a communal practice of gratitude, a shift from gratitude as just an attitude to gratitude as an action. From gratitude as something that is wrapped up with duty and obligation to something that is free and life-giving, that can change us and maybe even transform the world. That's the long view of our journey this summer. We start here today. And the place to start is with our own hearts, with the recognition of the gifts that we have received, that have been given to us, maybe by others, maybe by our abundantly generous God. But first, we put ourselves in the positions of being the beneficiaries, those who offer our gratitude to others. You will find during coffee hour today and next Sunday that our intergenerational activity focuses on these cards. They're double-sided. On one side, it says, "I am grateful that I am." And on the other, "I am grateful that I have." Because we recognize, again, we've got this long view of where our journey might take us throughout this worship series. But right now, we start here with our own hearts, taking stock of what makes us grateful, the blessings that we have received, and also knowing that there is a great blessing simply in who God created us to be. So I invite you to pick up this card. Maybe you're not ready to fill it out during coffee hour. Maybe you pick it up and take it with you and think about it this week. Think about the things that you are grateful for, things that you have, things that make you who you are. And know that here at Old South, we are so very grateful for each one of you. So throughout this series, we will over and over again focus on the refrain from our call to worship, hoping that over the next 8 weeks, oh God will make us grateful people. Amen.